Join me in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This portion of Acts begins a transition. We've seen a couple of these through the book of Acts as the church moved out of Jerusalem into Ephesus, and then from Ephesus, up into Syria, and then on to Ephesus, etc. We've seen a couple of transitions. But for me, in studying this and preparing and looking at the total book as a whole, there's a pretty large transition occurring here. The story of the evangelistic outward movement of the church now changes in Luke's writing here. And from this point on, Luke's writing concentrates on Paul's story, Paul's final chapters of his story, and his final ministry, if you will. Beginning in chapter 21 and moving on, Paul begins his journey to Rome through Jerusalem. And so here we see this movement in the growth of the church. And as I said in Luke's writings, the evangelistic outward movement is now coming to a close. And it turns to Paul's story and him heading to Jerusalem and on to Rome. For that reason, I want to leave chapters 21 through 28 for another study, because I believe you could take those chapters in and of themselves and speak of what God is doing in Paul's life, even taking him toward bondage and taking him toward prison, although it's prison in his own home. I want to leave that because I want to concentrate on this transition that's taking place and ensure that we don't miss what God is doing with his church, with his people, which is such an important message for us today. It's a critical time in the history of the church at this point. Paul's missionary journeys are coming to an end. He is just now completing his final missionary journey, save the trip to Rome, of course. He's been in Syria. He's been to the island of Cyprus. He's been to Southwest Asia, where he spent a great deal of time in those churches. He has gone to the Greek peninsula and has taught and preached significantly in Corinth and in Athens. The man has been working tirelessly in sharing the gospel. That's coming to a close with what I'm about to read to you. Also, something bigger is happening here along the same time frame. The apostolic age of the church is beginning to come to a close. The writing of chapter 20, we believe it is about 57 A.D. And within 7 years, Paul will be dead at the hands of the Roman emperor. But also within about 10 years of this time frame, most all of the disciples will be killed, will be murdered, except for the Apostle John. Except for the young John. The young John lives to an old age, and he dies somewhere in the mid-90s. And so that is going on behind the scenes. One more transition is taking place here, which is of great significance to us today. It is the story of Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders and his charge to those elders. So let me read that to you. We're in chapter 20, verse 13 through the end of the chapter. We went on ahead. Now, we here, Luke has begun writing in a more personal way. He's including himself as he's traveling along with Paul here. So this is the we. Luke, Paul, and some of the others that are helping Paul. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. Aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and we went to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos. And on the following day, we arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. A wonderful story of Paul's last days with the church in Ephesus. Elders and men he loved so dearly. Wherever Paul traveled, he preached the gospel. But he also, wherever he traveled, installed elders to care for the church. He sent out Timothy, Titus, and others to do the same thing. Whenever he would come to a church, he would be in and about formation of that church. And then he would bring elders into the fold and teach them, anoint them, and give them the care for the church. Here in this passage, most literally, we see the elders becoming the anointed leaders of the church. In our reading, we have Paul's emotional goodbye to the elders of the Ephesian church, and now they are responsible for caring for a church, for a people that he cared for and loved so much. If you have any doubt at all about Paul's care for the church in Ephesians, go back and read his letters to the Ephesus church and its congregation, and the prayer there that we believe is this prayer that he is talking of here. He loved the people greatly. So as I said, quite a transition for the church going on here. Moving from the apostolic age, moving from the personal direct care by an apostle to now the elders taking over, stepping into that place, caring for and providing for the church. It's a critical time. And so we ask, what were Paul's final words to these men he loved so much? What were his final words of teaching to these elders that he would never see again and would have the responsibility of caring for God's church. Now, one thing I will encourage as we consider this teaching that Paul gave these men here, gave the church, gave the elders of the church in Ephesus, is that we must acknowledge and consider that these are instructions for us as well. Now, this message would be primarily for those of you who hold the office of elder. We have a lot of elders in this church. On the day of communion, these pews are full. By sheer numbers, this church is under great care, should be under great care by the numbers of elders we have here. This teaching that he gives these elders in Ephesus, we should take it to heart here, all of us who are elders. Now, those of you who do not hold the office of elder, listen carefully, because you are responsible for bringing elders into the leadership positions as we vote for them each year. Also, the expectations you have of your elders, this would be part of it. And so hold us accountable to these things which Paul is giving. So what does he tell them? First thing. Well, the title of the sermon, the summation of the remarks, is found in verse 28. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Overseers is a word for elder. Presbyteros, that word. But here's the command. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Paul told the men to be shepherds of the church of God. To be a shepherd. Now, we use the word often here in the church. Be a shepherd, an under-shepherd, the shepherd of Jesus Christ. The word in the Greek means to lead a flock, but it also has an intention. To lead a flock to pasture, to feed them. It's an inclusive word. Lead them to a pasture to feed them. So the work of the shepherd, the work of the elder, the work of the pastor, is to lead a people and lead them to a place of feeding. It is to feed them. A shepherd is not only a caretaker. It's not only, the shepherd not only provides safety, not only provides for their health in a physical way, but the shepherd is to feed them. We who lead the church are shepherds leading to a flock to a pasture with an intent to feed them. That's what we see Paul doing here. Paul being the good shepherd of these men who God has called to be elders. He is now teaching them what they will in turn teach them. So he's being a good shepherd. He teaches them. He feeds them. His feeding, I think, can be summed up in 3 points, and I will try to make them this way. First, Paul provided an example to these men. By his example, he showed them how to conduct himself and how to be in and about the people. They saw Paul being thorough. Thorough. In his teaching, he was thorough. He taught about God's grace. He taught about God's kingdom. He taught about repentance. He mentions it here. He taught about repentance and faith. He taught about God's plan of salvation. In his teaching, he did not shrink back from declaring what was profitable for the people. A major characteristic of a good elder, a good teacher. You don't shrink back from the hard messages. You don't shrink back from the message just because the folks may not want to hear it. Paul did not do that. He showed that example. He was thorough with who he taught. He was not particular. Now, he would first go to the Jews, preach in the synagogues, and then make his way to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, as it's listed here. But he taught both. He was thorough with who he taught. He was also thorough in his means. He used the different ways that were available to him to teach. As I said, he would go to the synagogue, a very formal type of teaching. But he also would go from house to house. He would go and sit, I believe, and have a glass of wine and bread and whatever else might be available to them and talk for hours. The piece of scripture that I didn't read here in chapter 20 is of Paul teaching on into the night. As Luke said, he went on and on and on until the young man fell out of the window. Please, no one fall out. But Paul took advantage of all these methods and all these means to teach. So Paul gave them an example of being thorough. Secondly, in his teaching, Paul taught the elders by warning them of false teachers. The second point, Paul warned them of false teachers. The greatest threat to a sheep is a wolf. Sheep are very dumb and very defenseless. The elder is to stand guard endlessly to protect them. The elder is to watch for those that would harm the flock by their actions or by their false teaching. And we are to protect them. Paul also adds here that the false teaching, the wolves, if you will, would come from within the church. This is incredibly sad. Sometimes I believe that more damage comes from those inside the church than those outside the church, because there's an element of trust that leaves us vulnerable, but it's there. There's a prayer written by A.W. Tozer that I got to review and read again because of a book that was a gift. It's a prayer that I found in my early days of seminary, and I have used it repeatedly. There's a portion of the prayer that prays for this very thing about false witnesses, false teachers, wolves. This portion of Tozer's prayer. It is time, O God, for thee to work, for the enemy has entered into thy pastures, and the sheep are torn and scattered. And the false shepherds abound who deny the danger and laugh at the perils which surround thy flock. The sheep are deceived by these hirelings and follow them with touching loyalty while the wolf closes in to kill and destroy. I beseech thee, give me sharp eyes to detect the presence of the enemy. Give me understanding to see and courage to report what I see faithfully. Make my voice so like thine own that even the sick sheep will recognize it and follow thee. Lord Jesus, I come to thee for spiritual preparation. Lay thy hand upon me, anoint me with the oil of the New Testament prophet, forbid that I should become a religious scribe and thus lose my prophetic calling. Save me from the curse that lies dark across the face of the modern clergy, the curse of compromise, of imitation, and of professionalism. The prayer goes on. But I pray that often. I pray that often. Thirdly, Paul teaches the elders in Ephesus the importance of the people for whom they are to shepherd. In verse 28, as I have brought the title out of this sermon, it says, "Be shepherds of God, of the church of God." Whose church is it? It's God's. Whose church is it not? It's not the people's. The church belongs to God. We are of the greatest importance because of who we belong to. We are of great importance because of whose we are. It is not us that make us important. Remember, we are sheep. And sheep are dumb. And sheep are dirty. And sheep are smelly. Have you ever seen a sheep that has grazed in the open plains for weeks and weeks and weeks? They're nasty. And they got stuff clung to them. We can't be important in and of ourselves. We are important because we belong to God. Paul is telling this church, telling these elders, you are the shepherd of God's people, not your neighbors, not your brother or sister, mom, aunt or uncle. You are shepherd of God's people. And so the importance of your work is demanded by the caliber of persons that are in the church. Not the quality of the people, but the caliber of who they are being God's people. That's who is in our we are given to care for. The elders of Ephesus and you elders have a great prize to care for, the people of God. So in Paul's farewell to the Ephesian church, to the elders, it can be summarized by three ways. First, follow Paul's example. Second, keep watch over the sheep. Watch for false shepherds. And then thirdly, He taught the importance of the people that he is to shepherd, they are to shepherd. Lessons we must keep in mind. As I said, the church is in transition here, and the church has been in transition all of its history. From its founding days with the Lord Jesus Christ as its head and the calling of the 12 men that would come along and accompany him and be taught, great transition in their lives. As the leadership of the church was passed on to the disciples and the disciples went out and began teaching, great, great, great transition in the church as the church moved outward from Jerusalem into Syria and into Turkey and into Greece and into the farthest parts of the world. Great, great transition. Then here we read the shepherding of the church being passed from the apostles to the elders. These apostles, they had walked with Jesus Christ. They knew him. And they were to relay that teaching to the elders. These elders had not seen Jesus. And so the teaching from the apostles was critical. And so now the teaching by these elders who are now taking the mantle of the church is incredibly important. Even here today in our church, it is in transition. We're celebrating 225 years this year. Think of the transition that New Sterling has gone through from its inception. The people who have come in and out of these doorways, the elders, the pastors, the families, great, great, great change all through history. But there's been one constant. And it's God's grace toward this church that he has always provided elders who provided safety, who provided teaching, who provided care. The people come and go, but the church stands. And God has given it elders, just like these men in Ephesus, elders to care for and provide for the church. The church. It is the greatest gathering of people throughout eternity. And God in his wisdom has called men to be shepherds of that gathering. First the apostles, then we elders. We elders are to lead the church. We elders are to feed his church. We elders are to protect this church. We have been called to be shepherds, have been given a great, great, great responsibility. Our Lord loves this church. We have testament of that. It wouldn't have lasted 225 years. Our Lord loves the church. Our Lord gave his life for the church. We, who are elders, who have been given this mantle, this charge, should be prepared to give our life for the safekeeping and the teaching of this church. That prayer I referred to, Tozer closes out the prayer this way. He says, "And now, O Lord of heaven and earth, I consecrate my remaining days to thee. Let them be many or few as thou wilt. Let me stand before the great or minister to the poor and lowly. That choice is not mine, and I would not influence if I could. I am thy servant to do thy will, and that will is sweeter to me than position or riches or fame, and I choose it above all things in heaven and on earth. Though I am chosen of thee and honored by a high and holy calling, let me never forget that I am but a man of dust and ashes, a man with all the natural faults and passions that plague the race of men. I pray thee, therefore, my Lord and my Redeemer, save me from myself, and from all of the injuries I may do to myself while trying to be a blessing to others. Fill me with thy power by thy Holy Spirit, and I will go in thy strength and tell of thy righteousness, telling of you. I will spread abroad the message of the redeeming love while my normal powers endure. Paul told the men at Ephesus, be shepherds of the church. I pray the Lord would give us strength to be the shepherds of the church that God's church deserves. Amen. Amen.